Welcome to the Pratt on Texas, Texas Hour podcast. Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country. Now to today's edition of Pratt on Texas.
Ladies and gentlemen, Texans and Tejanos, you are tuned to the show that talks the talk and walks the walk. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, not vindicated. Or this is now Paxton's Texas, etc., etc. Media libs go nuts over the dropping of the dubious charges against Ken Paxton. Political goals for them, trump their desire for justice. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star Story of the Day. In that Lone Star Story of the Day, if time allows, I'm going to bring you one little other piece that I couldn't jam into the jam-packed show yesterday. Dallas Fed releases outlook on the Texas service sector and retail. Abbott issues an executive order over anti-Semitic acts at Texas colleges. That's the title, not speech, no matter how it's being spun in the media. And today is the anniversary of the massacre at Goliad by Mexican troops. We will remember that in the last segment today. In word and song. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. You can also catch up with yesterday's jam-packed show, really a must-listen if you want to be brought up to date going back more than 10 years on this Paxton stuff and the dropping of the charges yesterday. And in fact, at the show summary at prattontexas.com, there's a list you won't find anywhere else except the places where they've copied my work. And there are a lot of those, I know, because I've had reporters and others tell me they subscribe to my Twitter stuff and they look at the site and they pick up stories afterwards. This took a lot of work, and going back with stories for you to read in the press, going back to the beginning of all of this stuff so that you actually know the real story and have a better feel for it than what you're getting in the press today. That's all in yesterday's show summary. I mean, a tremendous number of links all through the timeline so that you can see what really happened in a contemporaneous form. We've got a lot of headlines. Hailstorm destroyed a Houston area solar farm out by Needville where they're building more and more of these things. Just came through and wiped it out, 4,000-acre solar farm. This is one of the problems with these things that everybody wants to put our lives on the line with. You know, get rid of fossil fuels and use this stuff. Arrest warrant issued in a central Lubbock fatal shooting. The police asking for help in Lubbock in locating 32-year-old Ladarian Daniels, who is considered armed and dangerous. If you know that person, let the cops know where he is. Bird flu turns out to be what was in that mystery illness we reported on Monday's show in dairy cows. Now it's not just New Mexico and Texas, but also dairy cattle in Kansas. The Texas Animal Health Commission has said that the flu is a type A H5N1 strain known for decades to cause outbreaks in birds and occasionally infect people. The virus is infecting older dairy cows. And we told the details on that on Monday. If you want to go back and listen to the podcast, you just go to prattontexas.com, click where it says show recordings or podcast, and you can listen to that. No real concern for humans. Pasteurization kills viruses and bacteria and things like that. Anyway, doesn't matter. Brownwood City Manager has been elected president-elect of the Texas City Management Association, Emily Crawford. Congratulations to her. McMurry University in Abilene announces a business and community leader. That's, I guess, their dean of the business school. That was their headline, business and community leader. Jeff Haney is their new dean of their business school, the Virginia Johnson School of Business there at McMurry. Man accused of stalking Abilene city manager's wife was indicted. That's the headline at the Abilene Reporter News, telling us that an indictment was handed down on March 14th by a grand jury on a felony stalking charge against Eddie Charles Pugh. He's suspected of accused of stalking the city manager, Robert Hanna's wife. And they said in the indictment, his conduct would cause a reasonable person to fear, according to allegations that he pointed a rifle at their home at night or something like that. Austin City Council did exactly what I predicted they were going to do a few weeks ago, and they hired the failed city manager of Dallas, T.C. Broadnecks, as their city manager. This is how liberals are. He's a liberal person. He fits all their little DEI checkboxes. Their biggest problem in Austin is their policing and not having enough police officers and having decimated their police department. And guess what this guy was never able to fix in Dallas? The police department. I mean, just how stupid are liberals? By the way, that form of viral stupidity seems to infect lots of city councils, liberal or not. Teenager's been arrested after a student was sexually assaulted at University High School in Waco. Student's being held in the McLennan County Jail, according to KWTX, after a 15-year-old girl reported she was sexually assaulted after school at University High School on March 21st. They've arrested Lorenz Ezekiel Levi Dubose. DPS arrested six in a big Lone Star card fraud investigation. That's what we used to call food stamps, the welfare card, out of El Paso. Our investigation revealed a store owner allowed Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP recipients, let's just call it welfare, to receive cash in exchange for processing redemptions at half the value. Among the benefits of working these cases jointly, they're bragging on their joint partners. Anyway, they arrested six people for theft of services. New Mexico men in custody after trying to circumvent Border Patrol checkpoint in West Texas. KTSM reports that they faced drug connections. They were trying to take 420 pounds of marijuana in a stock trailer to Odessa, my friends, and they've all been arrested, and they all had warrants, criminal arrest warrants in the state of New Mexico already. University of Texas PhD student was the other death in that terrible bus crash last Friday. We told you on Monday that the child was a five-year-old, Ulysses Rodriguez Montoya. Beautiful five-year-old boy died in that crash. The other death, the adult, was UT at Austin PhD student Ryan Wallace. Socorro ISD superintendent's been placed on administrative leave. KTSM reporting that used to be a little sleepy rural district when I was out in El Paso. It's now one of these giant, or big school districts. Dr. Nate Carman, they put him on paid administrative leave. I guess they were just sick of it since he already said, I'm leaving at the end of the year. I'm going to keep collecting my salary and be here, but I'm leaving at the end of the year to go to Arizona to a big school district, and now they put him on leave. Camp County lawyer returns collectible pistol worth $20,000 to its original owner after a legal battle. We'd reported on this before. KETK had the follow-up this week. It's a three-decade battle to get this pistol back. It was initially reported stolen in Indiana 30 years ago, made its way to East Texas where an attorney purchased the firearm in a pawn shop, and then that led to a legal value. He said, hey, it's mine. I rightfully bought it, but he has returned it, I believe, because it was, you cannot profit from the crimes of another. And I'll tell you, that's one of the problems with the DACA kids and the illegal immigration and everything. Everybody wants to let people break the law and then others behind them profit from their law breaking. That's just not, the antithesis of our legal system. A terrible story happened in Blair, Wisconsin. A man from El Paso, Carlos Medina, 30, died after he became stuck in their city water tank. He was in a scuba gear in a wetsuit cleaning the tank, and he got cold. He reported he was getting cold, but he didn't leave. He stayed down there, and they kept working, and they think he had hypothermia and died. All the people that do wonderful things in their work, in the free market, the work to take care of us. And, you know, always there's people talking about, well, this job is so dangerous. We got to pay these people so much. Look, lots and lots of jobs are dangerous. Work is honorable.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
A North Texas couple wrote,
I just would like to thank you for the connection to Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and crew at DentoCare. They did a fantastic job on my behalf. I've also referred numerous people to your site to contact her and will continue to sing praises for Dr. Zuniga. Folks, they've been back, taking other family. Learn what they have. A quick trip to the popular tourism spot of Costa Rica is great fun and often pays for itself in savings with superior dental care and the highest level of service you'll experience anywhere. Arrange your adventure to Dr. Zuniga by clicking on the DentoCare banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch Magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Listen fast. I'm going to pack a lot in today. The Fifth Circuit continued their block on the Senate Bill 4, the immigration law. Even though originally the first panel in that court let it go forward, just pending Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court let it go forward, then a different three-judge panel did went the other way. One of those judges is a Biden appointee, and the other two, Richmond and Oldham, are Republican appointees. They're standing in the way of this law, and I think they need to let it go into effect and see what it's like. You know, when we try to sue, it's always, well, nobody's been harmed yet. No harm has come yet, so we can't rule on this. You don't have standing. But, of course, in these things where there's politics involved, they seem to take a different tack. I think that you know, whatever reason, the court just needs to do what it originally said, let it go into effect, and then while they issue it, and the whole court needs to hear the case en banc and then go from there. One of the justices, Justice Oldman, who disagreed with this on the panel, the two-to-one ruling, pointed out that, I don't have it in front of me, but one of the things I read pointed out that we're never going to know how a state would implement this so that we know whether it really does infringe upon federal authority until we let it go forward, but they don't care. Migrant caught on video cutting border razor wire and attempting to lead dozens into the U.S. illegally, Fox News reporting that. He was using bolt cutters and snipping our razor wire. It was on Sunday. It was filmed, I think, by a reporter for the New York Post. And the hole there, they did seem to follow the commands of soldiers and did return to Mexico. We had recently put up that razor wire. All right, my friends, we gave you the manufacturing outlook on Monday from the Dallas Fed. It was not pretty. The service sector is continuing to grow. The service sector and retail report out. Service sector activity expanded in March. The revenue index held mostly steady. Labor market measures suggested no growth in employment and work weeks, though, and the employment index fell in the service sector. The respondents continued to perceive worsening broader business conditions. Selling price pressure remained unchanged while input price pressure eased. Wage growth accelerated slightly in March. Future general business activity index fell but remained in positive territory. Now in retail, retail sales fall again, but the good news, at a slower rate for the second month in a row. No, they've been bad for a long time. They're falling from an already bad position. The labor market indicators reflected contraction in employment growth and shorter work weeks in March. Retailers continued to perceive a worsening broader business condition in March, and input price and wage pressures increased while selling price pressure was unchanged, so retail continuing to be in the dumps. Now, there was a story out today. Governor Abbott released an executive order. And the headline is, Governor Abbott fights anti-Semitic acts at Texas colleges and universities. Now, everybody's picked this up as speech. But he actually says acts, A-C-T-S, which would imply actions of people, things they may do that are outside the realm of acceptability. And I don't mean based on speech, but he issued an executive order. He says to fight the increase in acts of anti-Semitism at colleges and universities in Texas and ensure a safe learning environment for Jewish students in all Texans. Now, I have a knee-jerk reaction to this. The answer to speech you don't like is more speech and the freeing of rules so that you can go after these people through speech and lobby other people against them. I don't like this stuff that sounds like you're trying to pick one side or the other. Abbott says anti-Semitism's never acceptable in Texas. We'll do everything we can do to fight it. No, but Texans have a right to be anti-Semitic, just as they have the right to believe all kinds of horrible things. He says, we stand with Israel and the Jewish community. We must escalate our efforts to protect against anti-Semitism at colleges and universities. Certainly, acts of anti-Semitism we should protect against, just as we should protect against acts of all other discrimination like CRT and DEI and everything else. So his order requires all higher education institutions to review their free speech policies and establish appropriate punishments for anti-Semitic rhetoric on college. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, Robert, you said this professor at Texas Tech, no. I mean, he has every right to say all he wants to say. My real story on that, as I tried to explain to you multiple times, is that why in the world do we have that kind of professor and that study thing over in the teacher's college, in the College of Education? That's the real story there that nobody seems to want to pick up on. If it belongs on campus at all, it belongs over in the political science department, not in a college where their main job is to teach primary and secondary teachers. Instead, they've got these departments set up and these professors, they're indoctrinating people. That's my objection. He did say vile things, and the university suspended him while they investigate. But they suspended him based on their employment guidelines for how they expect people to work, and that's something to be adjudicated. I tend to be more of an absolutist on free speech. I want no one to stand in my way of condemning or otherwise exposing and disagreeing with these people and speaking against the people with whom I disagree. That's the answer. Texas Tribune had the headline as Texas students clash over Israel-Hamas war. Governor Abbott orders colleges to revise free speech policies. Well, I'm not really sure that he's ordering them to revise anything, except that Abbott said expulsion from the college could be considered an appropriate punishment. Well, for what? For saying something? I don't get that. That's just wrong as it can be. He says, we support free speech, but that freedom comes with responsibilities for both students and the institutions themselves. Well, okay. And they point out in this story at the UT Austin, for instance, some students have called on university leaders to provide more support and protections for Palestinian students on campus. Around that time, Abbott urged university leaders to protect Jewish students. Here's the point. They should be, the only thing that's legitimate here is holding them accountable for protecting all students. And at UT, for example, they haven't. Now, this is different from taking an act, and that's where I'm going. For years and years, young conservatives and others have filed all the paperwork set up in the appropriate place and had liberal students come by and physically destroy their materials that they had out there. They've also had them come and intimidate and surround them and stop them from speaking to people. In other words, keeping others from coming by and seeing and, you know, being part of it. Those things the universities never seem to care about. When it's restriction of free speech against conservatives, the media doesn't care in Texas. Oh, but now, oh boy, he's trying to restrict free speech. Now, the governor singled out some Palestinian groups, Palestinian Solidarity Committee and Students for Justice in Palestine, he says they violated free speech policies and should be subject to discipline. All I'm saying is these institutions have long gone after conservatives and religious people for some of the most ridiculous ideas of violation of free speech. But they don't go after the liberals when the liberals actually, it's not free speech, they actually take action against people, destroying their property and other things like that. Look, when these people go beyond peaceful speech, something is warranted. Punishment is warranted. That applies to all parties. And the role of the university officials should be to protect the free speech of all. Now, when you start disrupting, like having classes and things like that, it's an ordered environment. You need to take that somewhere else. And I don't care which side you're on, you shouldn't be doing that. This thing, it just sounds bad, though. It sounds like, well, Abbott's picking sides and whose speech is allowable. I think when you go into the details of it, that's not what he's doing. But we certainly seen that these campuses in officials most often only side on one side of it themselves and allow the harassment and sometimes the actual, you know, drumming out of the heckler's veto, drumming out of action, the speech of conservative students. So something to balance there, something to look at. Now, there's another story out related to DEI on Texas campuses from Senator Brandon Creighton. We'll get to that in a moment.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
A Crosby County cotton farmer had dental work needs that would have cost at least $25,000 at home. Instead, he went to our official dentist, Dr. Zuniga, in Costa Rica, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under $10,000. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. He liked it so much, he's visited Costa Rica again. Get started on your savings and vacation adventure. Click the DentoCare banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
When it comes to your family's safety, you need the right tools. For over a decade, listeners have found those tools at LSG Tactical Arms at 2650 34th in Lubbock. Whether it's building out an AR-15 style rifle or selecting a self-defense handgun, LSG Tactical Arms can help you get what you need at a competitive price. Shop for your new firearm, parts, accessories, and more at lsgarms.com. Find it at lsgarms.com and you can buy it online and take delivery at LSG store at 2650 34th in Lubbock.
Some claim to cover Texas. Here's a man who proves his claim daily. It's your Texas political swami, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We remember the massacre at Goliad in the next segment and talk more about the unwinding of this long persecution of Attorney General Ken Paxton, following up on yesterday's blockbuster show that you must listen to if you want to actually know what was happening over time. Senator Brandon Creighton announces oversight on Senate Bill 17 implementation. This was released yesterday. Creighton announced he sent a formal letter to university chancellors and regents outlining the expectations and oversight processes for the implementation of SB 17. This pivotal legislation, which came into effect on January 1, represents the nation's most stringent prohibition on diversity, equity, and inclusion mandates within higher education institutions. The enactment of SB 17 is a significant step toward ensuring that merit and ability are the sole determinants of success within our higher education institutions, said Creighton. I'm committed to working closely with colleges and universities to ensure full compliance. It returns Texas colleges and universities to the merit-based operational framework, getting rid of these DEI politics things where that's who gets favored for jobs or anything else. Key points that the senator is pointing out to these people, to these university officials, is the Senate Committee on Education interim hearing. In May, chancellors and general counsels from institutions will have the opportunity to present compliance efforts with SB 17 during an interim hearing. The letter emphasizes critical areas of compliance, including the prohibition of DEI offices or officers, the ban on DEI training, adherence to merit-based hiring practices, the exclusion of diversity statements and political oaths in hiring or promotion processes, and preparations for audit compliance by the state auditor's office. Written responses have to be in by May 3rd from the universities and colleges. The letter warns any attempts to circumvent SB 17's provisions by merely renaming DEI offices or positions will not be tolerated. Remember, we've already caught a lot of the institutions doing that. The legislation includes strict enforcement measures, including potential freezing of university funding and legal actions for non-compliance. So he's pushing on that. Well, there was a story one of so many out there in the national press. It came from Washington Free Beacon back at the a few weeks ago, the end of February, and I noticed a couple of national groups picking up on this story this week. But it's about Columbia University Hospital, their DEI chief. Of course, all of these big institutions have these DEI people. Texas Tech had them. Health Sciences Center had them. They all had them. So it's not just the big liberal cities, folks. Turns out this guy joins this whole long list of people of being a serial plagiarist, a complaint alleges. In fact, they've shown that his dissertation plagiarized pages and pages from Wikipedia. And he's their chief diversity, equity, and inclusion officer at Columbia University's Medical School, Allied McKinn. Says he plagiarized extensively in his doctoral dissertation, lifting entire pages of material without attribution from sources and included Wikipedia, which, of course, is not much of a source. And they showed it to him. It's pretty clear. I mean, you can line it up word for word, and I've seen the comparisons. My point on this, along with this DEI, is this entire field is not academic. It is purely a derivative of critical theory. It is purely part of communist revolution. That's all it is. It's part of communist revolution. The entire field of diversity, equity, and inclusion is purely for political revolution. It is not scholarship. That part is simply a cover to insert revolutionaries into positions. And what we're finding is they've done it everywhere. And the near constant exposure now of the false scholarship of these people, from the head of Harvard on down, demonstrates that it was all pseudo-scholarship to begin with, fake scholarship, simply to let these people gain power and position. That's evidence of my claim that it is not a legitimate field of scholarship. It is purely for political revolution. And all it was, because we're seeing lists and lists and lists of these top people with advanced degrees and big-time jobs in major influential institutions, we see them time after time now being turned out to be academic frauds to get their credential so they could then get in there. In other words, these academic credentials were just cover. They're just cover, like Manchurian candidate style thing, sleeper agent cover, to move these people into position to then do what they're going to do. And I think that in and of itself inherently demonstrates that the entire DEI movement, with some of its most high-level adherents placed in the most high-level institutions, that their academic background was fraudulent. I think this inherently demonstrates that the movement itself is fraudulent and is another reason why it should be banned from all institutions. The state institutions, that's a political decision, but it needs to be banned more formally in our public schools. The legislature hasn't done that explicitly as they should. And all the other institutions that are private, out of a sense of integrity and academic honesty, should make sure this stuff gets banned, period. And that's the way it is. Big headlines today. Senator Whitmire, or now Mayor Whitmire of Houston, says the city's broke, facing a deficit of $160 million. He's talking about 5% cuts to everybody but firefighters and police. It's going to be interesting to see how they work that out. Whitmire is a little bit more sane than some of these other people. But then again, so is Kirk Watson in Austin. And yet he goes and hires is for the hiring of this guy in Dallas who did a horrible job on the exact same things that Austin needs help with. So you never know what they'll do. A lot of people in Houston already said, oh, wait, look out, tax increase is coming. Well, the city of Houston, like most cities, including the one in which I live, involve themselves in things that are just outside of core government services. I need to cut back on that stuff. All right, my friends. And by the way, public sector salaries are a good place to start. Sorry if that gores your ox, but it's just the way it is. Denton's district attorney, another reason why this court ruling was so wrong in the Court of Criminal Appeals, that all of a sudden, after decades and decades of allowing the attorney general to prosecute election-related crimes, saying that, oh, he can't do that. it has to go to the local DA or county attorney. As we've said over and over, it's quite obvious that in most cases, in many cases, the DA, district attorney, or county attorney is part of the same political machine engaged in it. Thus, why do you think they would ever do anything? You know, Denton ISD was called electioneering, so much so that a judge issued an injunction or a restraining order against them, or maybe a full injunction over their electioneering. Then they did more of it during this last primary election. But guess what? Denton County voters have submitted criminal complaints with this stuff that was enough for a judge to rule on to the district attorney, Paul Johnson. He hadn't responded to any of this stuff, reports Aaron Anderson at the Texas Scorecard. And this is the problem. They're part of that civic cheerleader or downtown cabal, and they're not going to enforce the law. You think the people that hire politiqueros to ballot harvest in the Rio Grande Valley and other parts of Texas and up and down the Rio Grande all the way to El Paso, you think those DAs who hired them themselves in their primaries and general elections are then going to go prosecute these people? Come on, how stupid can you be? The legislature should have acted in the last session to fix that ruling, and they better act on it right away in the next session. But of course, there's so many of them mad at the personality who's the attorney general. They'll put their own little short-term, you know, myopic vision, because they don't like that guy ahead of what's good for the state. That's stupid. The attorney general needs to be able to investigate and prosecute election-related fraud in the state of Texas. Now, my friends, coming up, we remember the massacre of those brave Texans at Goliad, and we talk more about yesterday's big story involving Paxton.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Fret on Texas will be right back after this.
You are lucky. You know that? Every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner and Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch, you don't have to go far to enjoy homemade, fresh, mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. The catfish is fantastic too. Where? At Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene, of course. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Farm tractors, semi-trucks, golf carts, ATVs, and even forklifts, what do they all have in common? Batteries. Texas Battery has the correct batteries for all, including commercial, industrial, and agricultural machines. Texas Battery has what's needed for tractors and combines to ATVs and forklifts, and Texas Battery has the right cables when yours need replacing, all with Texas-sized service. Keep your equipment and toys working with Texas Battery. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
Hey now, here at Campbell Containers, we have a big stock of new and used shipping containers for sale. Stop in and look over our inventory of 20 and 40 footers. We have a bunch of new 40 foot high cubes on the yard. All these containers are built in China, so buy now with our locked in low prices before any steel or trade tariffs affect us. We're located just east of Abilene on I-20 at exit 297, or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
Welcome to the show, where Juan Seguin, Sam Houston, and the Alamo are revered equally as Washington, Jefferson, and Concord. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Today in Texas history, my friends, sponsored by Hub City Title, hubcitytitle.com. Infamy at Goliad 187 years ago today, March 27th, 1836. It was this day, which happened to be Palm Sunday. At least 342 Texans were executed by a firing squad at Goliad. The Texians considered these men prisoners of war, whereas General Santa Anna thought them, and by the way, so did his other generals. He said they're perfidious foreigners. Mexican dictator had decreed all Texans in arms against the Mexican government were to be treated as traitors, not soldiers. Men were led out of town. They thought they were being paroled, which was the custom worldwide at that time for prisoners. Instead, they were paraded out and shot at point-blank range. Those not killed by the first volley were hunted down and killed by gunfire, bayonet, or lance. Bodies were left unburied, even. The incident, which became known among the Anglo-Texans as the Goliad Massacre, joined the Alamo as the rallying cry for Texas independence. In other words, it wasn't remember the Alamo at San Jacinto. It was remember the Alamo, remember Goliad. And here is the brilliant, poignant song. You folks listen on the podcast don't get to hear the song, I'm sorry, but everybody on radio and radio stream does. The song Goliad by Brian Burns off of his album, The Eagle and the Snake, The Songs of the Texians. Again, thanks to Hub City Title, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company, for our look at today in Texas history. Never forget all the blessings we are surrounded by with, never forget these people that gave their lives for that. Doesn't that make an absolute, just shows what a travesty it is of how many people in our neighbors and everybody who can't even be bothered to vote after these people gave their lives. If you missed yesterday's show, you need to go to proudontexas.com and go there where it mentions the podcast, recordings of the show, podcast page, and go listen to it. Also, the show summary has massive number of links for you to go back and look at stories, some of which I had to go to the Wayback Machine for on the internet because they had been expunged by these search engines about the whole Paxton debacle over the years. So you'll understand why these charges were dropped. I'm working on a big piece on that for the next issue of the Buffalo Gap Roundup News, and I'll also be sending that out to the Listener Club members, so join free at proudontexas.com if you want to, and you'll get that coming up in another week or so. Now, I mentioned one little story I couldn't get to yesterday. Here it is, parts of it. Who's responsible for the Paxton probe? It was by our friend Tony McDonald, an attorney, on August 1st, 2015. And he talked about how special prosecutors geared to drag Attorney General Paxton through the same mud as former Governor Rick Perry and whistleblowing UT Bridget Wallace Hall. Question arises as to who is responsible. On the surface, the leftist watchdog group, Texans for Public Justice, has driven much of the action in the case. That group is mostly the effort of one man, Craig McDonald, who worked as a liberal community organizer in the 70s and is an alumnus of Ralph Nader's Public Citizen. McDonald and TPJ have been accused of using lawfare against Republicans and are funded by Soros' Open Society Foundation. TPJ was the group initially, see, a lot of you forget, they don't tell you this in the stories, initially filed the complaint against Tom DeLay, remember that, alleging his efforts to raise money to beat Democrats amounted to a crime? Of course, that just tried to destroy him. Well, they also filed a bunch of the malicious complaints against Governor Perry with the old Travis County DA and got that indictment. In the Paxton case, that group first attempted to get their friends in the Travis County DA office to indict Attorney General Paxton. When the DA's office in Travis County refused after an extended delay, citing obvious venue limitations, TPJ maneuvered to have the case referred to Collin County. Nobody mentions that, do they? Because they don't want you to think this was a political hit job. Once the case is back in Paxton's home district, his opponents caused the Collins County DA to be recused and for special prosecutors to be appointed. That's right, the DA there didn't bring these charges to a grand jury. The appointment of special prosecutors shifted the interest balance against Paxton. The special appointees only get paid and only make a name for themselves if the case goes forward. And they made it go forward for 9 years without getting to court, and they settled instantly once a judge finally set a court date where they were going to have to make a case before a jury. But Tony wrote, but it's really just, is it just one left-wing activist in McDonald at TPJ? Democrat operative Matt Engel didn't think so. In 2014, Engel filed a Public Information Act request with the offices of House Speaker Joe Strauss, Representative Jim Kiefer, and Charlie Guerin, seeking records of communications and meetings between Republican offices and the Travis County DA on the Paxton case. It's unclear what role Strauss, Kiefer, or Guerin or other members of the House leadership at the time played in attacking Paxton, but their motives are obvious. Paxton rose to statewide prominence when he challenged Joe Strauss for the speakership in 2011. In fact, that catapulted him into a Senate seat. And then you had that Ty Clevenger, the Dallas blogger and a lawyer, who acquired the names and addresses of grand jury members and secretly communicated information to them, including delivering documents to one of their homes, trying to get them to indict Paxton. There's so much to this, folks, and I covered a lot of it yesterday. I'm going to cover a lot more in my upcoming column, but it has to be extremely summarized. You really need to go to proudontexas.com and go through those links from yesterday's show. The clock's got me. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all in this holy week. Adios, mis amigos.
I want to thank Hub City Title for sponsoring our look at Today in Texas History Most Show Days. Hub City Title is Lubbock's local title company with over 220 years of combined experience, reliable and responsive with fast turnaround from Hub City Title's in-house title examiners. HubCityTitle.com, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. If you're in Lubbock and you need a title or escrow company, Hub City Title are the people to deal with.